So it's actually really nice to meet another aligned soul with very similar work we do together. And it's beautiful to connect with someone that is basically my neighbor almost. And talk about those beautiful things like consciousness, leadership, and leading yourself with high awareness and awakening. So I'm so looking forward to actually have a chat with you, Matthias. So welcome.
Oh, thank you, Alexandra. It's so good to be here. And yeah, it's amazing that life brings us together and that we have this connection, even though we're very far away from each other physically.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a beautiful technology, right? Like we can connect and we can talk and we can live everywhere in the world. So I'm so grateful for that. It's always beautiful. Beautiful reminder, right? Like where we live, how we live right now. And yeah, I want to say to everyone who is not watching the video that Matthias is amazing because he's always smiling. So when he talks, actually he smiles. So you will probably hear it from the conversation we will have. So I think it's such a great vibe and conversation, and I'm already feeling very warm in his company, but it's really good. So tell us something about you, Mahers. What you do and how did you arrive to the work you do right now? What is the background story?
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, first of all, I'm super excited that you have me on your podcast. I'm very grateful for this, and thank you for the beautiful I take that as a compliment that I smile. It's really good to see you again. And yeah, so my background is pretty much is really tech is tech and events, like really very very masculine, very classical, a startup vibe, VC funded. I in my 20s, very early on, I was like studying entrepreneurship in university, and I wanted to be an entrepreneur that though. And so I said, fuck that, like I'm just gonna go out there and do it, right? And that was the time when two people came towards me and were like, hey, we have this amazing idea. You want to be the co-founder sales for a software that we have in mind, which is a software for banks and wealth management companies and family offices. And I said, I don't have a clue about sales, but let's do it. Let's go. So we did it, and we scaled to 70 employees. We raised 20 more than 20 million euros in funding. We had amazing success with that company, and it was great. And then also on the side, I had an event company, and we just did skiing festivals for students in the mountain. Thousands of people every year, parties and like skiing and having fun and après ski and all of that. And it
Love
was
it.
really yeah, and it was a good time. I can't say I didn't have a blast. Yeah, it was really like yeah, that partying entrepreneur kind of identity and like partying on the weekends, being in the office during the week. But then in October 2019, it was a Sunday morning, I woke up one morning and a woman left my room and had a lot of one-night stands back then. I was like constantly distracting myself with adrenaline-filled adventures and all of that. And she left the room, and then also the apartment. There was silence. And in that silence, that hit di differently that day, because I, for the first time, I started to reflect. And like a seed that I had planted with reading some books about from Eckhart Tolle apparently sprouted that morning, and I got to question like, who am I beyond these roles, and what do I do with my life? And I realized that I felt really empty, and that I had been running away from all of these things. And so I reached out to a mentor, and I was like, okay, we need to talk. And then after that conversation, I decided to leave the companies, and I left the software company. I also sold the shares of the event company, and then ultimately was out in the middle of nowhere. And and that was first was great, because I just kept on living the life that I did, except that some friends recommended me doing a seminar that was really a Gestalt therapy seminar, and that's the first time that I really got in contact with like spirituality and all of that. So we were kind of like embodying our hero and our demon. So like kind of the force inside of us that drives forward and the one that holds us back. And there was a moment in the seminar when these two merge, or with when these two meet. And in that moment, I completely cracked open. I like my heart exploded. Something came inside of me. Like I saw this light, and then I was just crying for the first time in 8 years after having been numbing myself for such a long time. And that was really the first time where I was like, wow, like I feel alive. I can feel joy, sadness, all of these emotions, and it makes me feel alive. And then I was really on top of the world because I was just traveling the world and hopping from peak experience to peak experience, feeling super compassionate, super a lot of love through the opening. And then after that, though, I fell into the deepest and darkest time of my life, because what I realized, like, later, was that I didn't have the capacity, I didn't build the whole my whole nervous system to hold this kind of compassion, to really be open for this, because I was still living the old life and not facing myself, not, having built the n nervous system capacity, not having done the real internal work.
Yeah,
So I
that's
felt it, yeah.
had to be hard because that was probably like that internal fight, right? Like you knew something is wrong and you already had realization that you are more than that, and then you get back to your old life. It's almost like that internal fight between, maybe shadow and life or light, or maybe that, dark side, light side, or it has to be hard. Like that has to that was probably ripping your soul, right? In parts.
It was very extreme. And I was really literally, like, with my old friends especially, I was seeing so many of my own shadows in the conversations and in the experience that I had with them. And all of a sudden I saw like greed, I saw, anger, and then I realized it's all inside of me. And I was like, wow, like this is a lot. So I was really facing myself, as you said, yes. And I was laying at Paradise Beaches in Guatemala, and not being able to enjoy a single moment because I was like deeply depressed, deeply battling with my internal phenomena, whatever that is, and really being in this constant fight with myself, pretty much. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's a hard one because I think all transformation or realization, let's say, the first awareness, like this is not who I am, and seeing everything, I think that's the hard part because we yet don't have any tools or anything how to manage ourselves. We need to actually leave the environment we are in because we are becoming someone else. So all the change actually that had to be really hard. So I want to know what happened after, because you are now knowing that maybe this is my old me and it's not anymore serving me. So what was like, what steps did you take towards, feeling or fulfilling that part of you that wanted to come out and wanted to feel and wanted to be alive?
Well, that's a very good question. And as I said, I was really like Paradise Beaches, rented villas in Tenerife here in Europe, and just having like trying to have a blast. I thought like the partying, the peak experiences, the adventures would fill that void. But ultimately, I was getting worse and worse, and I couldn't enjoy a single moment. And I was literally like, I love surfing, and I was in Nicaragua, and I went surfing, and I didn't enjoy it. Like there was nothing that I could enjoy, and I was like, okay, wow, like what am I gonna do here? And so it was pretty much at a fork in the road, right, where I could have gone back because I didn't know who I was, what I was doing. So I still had that old connection and identity of that entrepreneur, of that software, entrepreneur sales guy. And I was like, literally, like, okay, shall I go back and do that again, or shall I like really, literally face myself and step into full into the unknown, And that meant for me, really looking for support, getting humble, and there was a moment where I was just where I couldn't take it anymore, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna reach out, and I reached out to my first coach actually, and that changed really the trajectory of it all because I started to learn about, the human development of the psyche, what stages we kind of go through in life, because they're kind of predetermined or similar for everybody. And what kind of challenges we face along the way. So it's really like something that we know that it has been researched, and what value systems change and how they change, and what it means to really regulate your nervous system in a skillful way, in a way that's also sustainable, and how to integrate all of that. And I realized that, like really designing my life from within with skillful guidance is like the most effective way to creating a life of fulfillment and
I love
joy.
that. And I love that because you mentioned as well values. So I believe when we're going through the period of time that we feel like, something is ripping off the soul and our kind of emotional well-being or state, is when we are misaligned with our values. And you had to basically early start looking for actually who I am, what my values are, what is important to me. And I love that because I think that's the major kind of step into that embodiment of who we are, truly who we are, like authentically who we are. And I think that's a hard journey for a lot of people because that probably required a lot of changes, like who you are around, who is in your circle, what you do as an activity. So you kind of had to realigned will be probably the word. Realigned your values with your behaviors, with your lifestyle, with everything, right? With the work environment and what you do in the world. So tell me more about that, because I think that realignment to, who we are, because the first was awareness. You realize that this is not me, I'm someone else. So you're going through that stage, but now, okay, so you know kind of who you are, you know what is important to you. You probably value different things than before. So what did you do from perspective of your behaviors, your environment? Like, how did you step away from that? And how did you actually step into the new one that is serving you?
I love that question. And yes, this is a fundamental transition in our lives. And for me, that was really realizing that I had been living from needs, from like thinking that I need something
Love that.
to like a life that is more like pulling me because I can find joy in the moments. And how that concretely looked like was that I would betray myself very often in terms of the people that I connected with.
Oh, yes. I think we know a lot about that.
Oh, for sure. We all know that, right? So I would be really hanging out with people, and out of fear of being abandoned or rejected, I would overstep my own boundaries in a way, for example, that I was part of, like, I remember I was skiing with my family of origin, so with my parents, with my sister, with her boyfriend. We were going on a ski holiday. We sometimes do that, once a year we go skiing together. And I remember back then I had these friends that what we always did was like we rented like villas in Tenerife, and then we spent a few months there. It was like COVID time, and we escaped the German kind of hardcore, reign of
Don't go out.
political madness that was going on. And exactly, and in Tenerife it was like quite beautiful. And they were in the villa already, and I was in the skiing resort. And remember, my inside was like, because there was very little trust that I had into also my partner back then, who was with those people. And I remember that she told me that they were gonna do like some kind of like amazing party on the weekend, right? And I was almost like going to shorten the trip with my parents and with my sister in order to fly to Tenerife to go to that party, because I couldn't stand not being there, not knowing what she does there, and also not knowing like the fun that I was missing right? Like in quotation marks, obviously. And the thing, so I couldn't really sit back, relax, and be present in the moment and just like enjoy what I have. Like my nervous system was always agitated because I wanted to be with those people, and I wanted to, I thought that I'm missing something. I thought that I'm missing out on this great experience. And also, I wanted to control what was going on with my partner because we had this, like, I was really anxious. Like, my attachment is more anxious in that relationship, and she was more avoidant. So I was kind of like, I wanted to be connected with her emotionally, actually, but that wasn't happening. So I kind of like tried to go towards her. She went away, and then the whole dynamic with the whole group, where I was like, I want to be part of that. Really, it was like really tearing me apart, and it was like couldn't enjoy the moments that I was doing, and that was like I was acting from the need of belonging. So just to come back to your question, right? I was acting from the need of belonging, that I need something to fill myself, right? I need this validation from the outside to fill myself. And then later that shifted to, you know, when I really faced this, when I really went through the somatic experiencing, when I really internalized the healing and did the deep work in terms of, you know, found how to access these deep inner states in my body and regulate my nervous system. That changed into me being completely sovereign and choosing the people that I truly feel seen and loved and heard.
And I love your story because I think there is, I truly believe that some people that are listening right now, it will be resonating a lot because there's a lot of people, and I was there as well, right? When we are transitioning into that different stage, you know, we're going through different stages, emotional evolution and psychological evolution. And there is a moment where we are like, oh, I'm going with them. I'm going to see these guys. I'm going, you know, because they're calling me. So we kind of almost like we know inside, deeply inside, that we kind of don't really want to do it again. But we still say somehow, yes, you know what, I'm coming. I will be there. You know, it's almost like we can't stop the
Exactly.
habit. It's almost like that habit is still there. And it's like, no, I have to be there. It's my friends, right? And it's always is there, but you know that it's not your group of people. Like you really need to change that, and you know that. So inside, it's almost like one part of you is like, just stay here, enjoy it, just be with yourself. You know, just go maybe somewhere alone, and you know that that is what you need basically to kind of calm your soul and search or soul searching, right? Like to find trying to find out what's going on. And I know so many times we betray ourselves and we are like, no, today will be better. I'm going there, you know, and maybe today will be different. And we are hoping that something will change outside of us, but it never changes because, you know, people just don't change. And most of people, I'm sure that you have the experience that your circles, when you were moving, when you're going back to those circles now, they're still same. It's almost like so many people don't really transition or don't change and they stay same as 20 years ago, right? So many of my friends as well, they didn't change much. And sadly, you know, not everyone kind of starts this journey of self-discovery or have that realization that you had, right? Like you felt like there is just empty life. And I love that you took yourself on the journey. I think that's very brave because I think that's the journey of, you know, like we lose everything at some point. We get down and up and down and up, and it's just ongoing battle to find ourselves somewhere and find out who we are. So tell me what actually changed in your maybe how you think this was better? How you think about happiness and success now? Because when you compare before, it was probably more having these cool experiences and it was more, you know, the luxurious adventure and adrenaline adventure. But now, you know, probably it's something totally different. So I would love to hear that.
Oh, it's so different.
I'm
Oh
sure
my
we're doing contrast here, yes. I can.
God. It's so different now. I think that, you know, what you said is absolutely true. We so often seek on the in on the outside what we 100% have inside. And that's something that, you know, It's like kind of like these quotes that you put on your fridge, right? But what does that actually mean? What does that actually mean? It means really that in practical terms, that I was chasing that happiness. I thought that something that I'm going to do, like for example, being with those people or creating the awesome company or having the beautiful girlfriend, would give me the validation and the worthiness that I was lacking inside. And where does it come from? I remember a time when I was like 12 years old, and I came home from school, and I grew up at a beautiful lake, in close to Munich, Germany. And I would go home, and I had two really good friends, and I called both of them after school. I was like, "Hey, you guys, you want to go to the lake and have fun, and go and ride a boat?" And they both said they had something to do, like homework or work, helping with their parents. So I was like, kind of like, "Oh, okay, well, I'm gonna go down there by myself." So I had lunch, I went down, and I was standing on the grass, and then I was looked out on the lake, and the sun was shining, and I still remember that today. Like, I saw a boat, and both of them were on there together. And like, my heart sank, and I felt so unworthy and rejected that in that moment, I swore to myself, like, I'm never gonna feel this unworthy and rejected again, right? And I'm gonna show the whole world how worthy I am. So I created this belief that I am not enough, and I have to show the people that I am enough, that I am worthy to hang out with them. And so yeah, so when I realized that a few years ago, after these experiences, I started reflecting, and I started really going in there, and I started to realize that I had been operating from like these old beliefs that I had picked up from the childhood. And what does real happiness look like now is really integrating those pieces, like bringing home those rejected, unworthy parts that are still lingering. Like, the mind is kind of like, we can look at the mind like a fragmented kind of thing. And we split off kind of like a little bit our personalities in a way. So in certain situations, certain personality traits come up
And
because
become
they get
triggers.
triggered, right? And so kind of like reintegrating those pieces and making sure that we can include them into ourselves, and that we create a loving, caring, kind, compassionate relationship with them is so crucial. And that's what, like, one way to wholeness is to, which is called cleaning up in like one of the philosophies that I really love, which is integral theory. And Ken Wilber talks about cleaning up there, which is like really integrating these pieces that have been kind of like fragmented off and then come out through triggers. And then when we do that, this is one way, but when we do that, then we realize, then we can really be present, because otherwise our psyche is always stuck to the past or to the future, right? I'm like lingering in these old, oh, this is what happened to me, that's what I'm unhappy, or like the future, oh, I need to do this in order to. But then when we integrate these fragmented pieces, then we can really be in the present. And it's really true that when we are present, then that's where the happiness and the joy is, because then we can be connected with our bodies and with the phenomena and with the feelings. And these feelings are like, we're supposed to feel joy, and that joy is really in the moment when we're present with what is, and when we can come from that place of peace and of stillness.
And I love that. I love that because I know there's a lot of resistance towards the word stillness because people think that stillness is doing nothing. But stillness is just the moment, between your breaths, basically. It's just the presence that you can create in your body and being connected. I love that. And it's so important because that's where growth actually happens, because you realize that you're almost like out of your mind, right? Like you are actually in a feeling, in a body. And it's a beautiful moment of stillness, gratitude, love, and joy. I love that. And there is something you said, and I think that's very important for everyone who's listening. I'm sure that you can guys find yourself there in that story, because we all had a moment when we were young, you know, kids, you know, I'm sure we all felt at some point or in some moment rejected, because it was normal, right? Like when you see kids, they always do it to each other. They always, you know, argue, and they always are three friends, and two friends are together and one is out, and then that changes in a few weeks' time. So it's kind of very normal, but it can hit you, right, really hard.
Of
And running on
course.
that moment of, wow, okay, so my friends betrayed me and I feel it right now, because you were probably very present in that moment. So it really kind of ingrained the, you know, memorized in your brain. And what happened after that, we basically lived the life that is based on that, you know, that limit, that the belief that what happened, the moment. And conversation with you is almost healing for me, because I was going back to, you know, to my moments as well, like when I felt rejected, when I felt that way. You know, when I felt embarrassed or ashamed. And there is so many of them, I believe, from everyone's life. And I love when you said that just healing, you know, being on the journey of putting together all those parts of us, you know, and calling them back and making a peace with them. I think there's also, I think it's family system or something, I can't remember, but it's like as well, like a psychotherapy, and it was made by talking to your parts, basically, and talking to your parts, like shame, for example, and say, you know what, thank you very much for being here. Thank you for serving me. You know, I understand you're here, but I'm fine now. So it's almost like you're talking to different parts of your mind and your psyche. And I love that when you mentioned that, right? Like it's realigning and connecting them and trying to find that wholeness in a stillness. So, wow, okay. So thank you so much actually for that, because it really just is beautiful when it takes us to through the journey of, you know, remembering. And I usually have those moments, because I believe everyone who starts this journey, and you start with awareness, and you know, that's what you start ages ago, basically. You started to be aware of something is not right. And I think when people just know that there is something not okay, and they feel like they maybe just out of everything, they don't feel like they belong, they feel like, you know what, this is probably not my life. I would say trust yourself in that moment, because you're taking yourself probably on this beautiful journey of self-discovery and reconnecting with your genius, with your power, you know, when you with your real authentic self that you already probably know. You have already gifts, you know, something that is inside you that can be explored. So I would say that awareness point was very important for you to start this journey. So what is now, when you're thinking about, you know, like you were aware, you were beautifully starting to connect, you know, your life and putting things together and starting to understand your psyche, starting to understand your emotions, and now you feel everything. So how actually your life changed, or how are you going now towards, I don't know, success, building businesses, or creating, you know, that of course you need to have income, you need to have business or something, right? So because we need to still pay the bills. So how that changes, like what is the approach towards the business and life?
I love that. And yeah, I want to just quickly touch upon the internal family system, because I think it's a really, really awesome discovery, or a new modality. Well, it's not so new, but it's a modality that I also use in
Oh, I
in
love
my
that.
coaching. I use
Yeah.
them in my coaching,
Nice.
and also I'm pioneering with some other coaches and psychologists from actually Australia, a new modality that integrates that into like a skill that we can all learn for ourselves. You know, where just like reading and writing, we can navigate our own psyche in a way that integrates these pieces. So it's phenomenal. It's amazing.
Love it.
Yeah, an internal family system, parts work is one, and then there's other modalities. And actually, as I said, I'm supporting some people that are developing, or that have developed, a new one that's like really, really cutting edge and exciting, because my whole mission is to really support people in harmonizing themselves with, from within, you know, create harmony within. Because I believe that when we all create harmony within, we will only create harmony on the outside. Because,
Absolutely.
like what I said, like I was reacting to those things, I was projecting my greed, my anger to other people. And what I realized is that then I didn't show up as the best version for myself and for others. And through that, I couldn't really be a good, well, you know, good, bad. I don't want to say good, bad, but I couldn't be my best version. And
Best, yeah.
I couldn't act from integrity where my thoughts and my feelings and my actions are aligned. And I couldn't, you know, I couldn't stay calm in the midst of storm. And that translates to the business as well. Coming to business, I think so. What I've developed is like the expansion state method for high achievers, like kind of like this method where you can come into like real calmness and act from clarity and act from power from within. And what I call people that act from, you know, calmness, from integrity, and from full from their highest version is what I call evolutionary leaders. And that's how I see business in the future as well, like led by evolutionary leaders. And these evolutionary leaders, you know, they have integrated these shadow parts, and they have
Absolutely.
integrated these different beings so they can, so they don't project these outside. Because if I'm always super stressed, if I'm always acting from that hustle, if I'm always constantly chasing, then this is also what I produce. And then in Germany, we have a saying is like, and literally translated, it's the fish stinks from the head. And I don't know
Yes, we have
if
the
there's a
same,
similar in
yes.
English. Yeah, it's the same in English.
We
Okay,
have
good.
the same in Slovakia, so
So I hear a lot of businesses where it's like, how can we reduce the stress for the employees? No, 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 no. How can the leaders create and like, first of all, harmony in themselves so they vibrate
I
this
so
peace and
agree.
harmony. And then,
Absolutely.
and because they then change their own kind of behaviors,
Yes.
right? They change their own way of being so that you don't have back-to-back meetings all the time, that you don't, that you don't maybe take on the projects that are stressing you just for the money because your mind thinks that you need to do that.
I love that.
This creates the stress, right? But when we create the space, and you were talking about stillness, when we create the space, and this is how I see businesses operate more and more, is when we create space, when we create stillness, when we create routines that actually support the flourishing of our physiological, emotional, and mental bodies, then we start to have way more creativity. Like,
Yeah.
I'm so creative because I do, you know, Qigong, I do meditation every day, I do Qigong every day, you know. And this creates space. I do my nature walks, all of that. And then all of a sudden, I have these insights. I have intuition. I have creativity. And that's where I built my business from. And obviously, yes, we have to earn money 100%. And that's so important.
Yeah.
And we also want to have flourishing businesses, you know. And by creating that space, all of a sudden, the space is filled by the things, if we have a vision, by the new things that are really, that we really want, if we don't constantly think that we have to, you know, follow that tight
Yeah.
schedule.
I love that. And you touched base on a lot of different things that I would like to kind of pick on because it's so important, especially because we are in Conscious Leadership Podcast. And I think this is really important because you can still see there is a lot of bad leadership. And I will call it bad probably because it's bad probably for where we are going as a world. I think we need more conscious leaders and, you know, evolutionary leaders, like you call them. And I really love that you said you're showing or showcasing there is this moment of stillness that you can also create in a company, in a team, and everything starts with a leader. So exactly when we do work with teams, you know, it's a leadership team. When they are in stress, actually they're projecting the stress on the team. And it's almost like you're creating this energy. When you walk into the team, you can already feel it in the air. It's almost like, oh my God, I don't want to work here.
Absolutely.
Like it's already, you know, it's already toxic, it's already putting you down. And because we are actually beings that we communicate on cellular level, on, you know, on body to body, body to body. So I think that's really important that we didn't really care about that before. So you now see these old school leaders, they're coming in and they're telling you that, oh, if you want to take leadership position, you need to work 14 hours a day. You just need to count on that, you know? And I'm like, wow, like that's such an old theory. That's, you know, it's not working as well, because when you're looking at your life and when you're looking on you know, life of people, they are really successful. It's all about working actually less and more productive. It's actually less hours in work will give you more results when you look at what stage you are at, right? So when you're 14 hours a day in work, you are not very productive, probably 7 hours of that, right? Because if you can't be productive 12 hours at the same task and doing the same, it's not possible, right? We were not born for that. We're not structured for that. And I think the understanding that needs to come in, you know, from that old school of leading people, it needs to come in. And I think it came in with COVID, actually, a little bit, that, you know, remote work became normal. But so how many leaders are still scared to leave people at home, working from home, and they become control freaks because I need to see that you're working 8 hours. It's like, what? Why I need to work 8 hours? Why we need to work 5 days a week? I'm more productive when I work 4 days a week and I have 3 days weekend, right? Like that's when is my best week, when I'm actually working 1 day less. But we are so slow to adapt to this high level of, you know, happiness and well-being and being actually happy and feeling joy in work, that it will take probably another decade or so, right? Or maybe 2 decades to transform into that real beautiful conscious, you know, evolutionary leadership. And I really wish that we all have it already, because I think it's so important and it's so visible. Like the creative mind doesn't work, right? When we are in stress, when we are in ongoing doing, it
Yeah.
doesn't work. It's just we can't
It
access
doesn't.
the right brain, we can't access the intuition, we can't access the power we have inside. And that always fascinated me, that like few people that will see it will create absolutely amazing companies and will create absolutely amazing growth in the world. And I can't wait to see that. But what I would
Absolutely.
love to ask, Matthias, where when people want to work with you, talk to you, connect with you, where they can find you, or how do you work with people?
Yeah, for sure. And again, I want to touch upon something that you said
I know, we
before.
can just talk.
Yeah, for sure. But just one last thing to that, which is super, super interesting, is that I've learned in my journey that there's two different kind of growth. One growth is vertical and one growth is horizontal. Okay. And when we and new leadership and conscious leadership concepts come from a come from, let's say, a world view that is actually bigger. So what the human psyche does, it grows over the years and over its life in perspectives that we take if we let it. So for example, when I was like a few years ago, I would still think, okay, I have to put on, when I meet with my entrepreneur friends, I have to put on this mask. And when I when I meet with my spiritual circle, I put on this mask. Like I couldn't,
Yeah,
somehow it didn't really fit
don't
together.
integrate
I was like
together.
different personalities. And then I also had different opinions in different ways. What I learned over the years is that I integrated these different personalities and these different opinions into one kind of structure that is more integrated, where I now don't have to be right because I know there's thousands of perspective that we can take to one topic, and that I can be so much more relaxed. So what I just want to say is that the human psyche grows in perspective and in complexity if we let it over the course of a lifetime, and that's been scientifically researched. And vertical and so horizontal growth is pretty much what is often implemented into companies, like, okay, we don't work 40 hours anymore, we work 35, right? Which is like the same kind of complexity or the same kind of quality of work, but just like we try to
Measurement.
bring in
Yeah.
like well-being into the workspace, or we're gonna establish a we're gonna some a
It's the
foosball
tick the box.
table, yeah,
Yeah,
just tick
I
the boxes,
know.
pretty much.
Yeah.
Or have like a gym pass, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then there's vertical growth, and vertical growth is transformation. And transformation means that we create new paradigms,
Yeah.
right? We don't operate from the same paradigms, but we create new paradigms,
Change,
and that's
like change
really
perspective.
visionary. Yeah,
Yeah.
new perspectives, new paradigms, and that's visionary. So, for example, asking like how does really how would people if you had a blank paper, how would the best way to work for people look like? Seeing that we are holistic, multidimensional beings, that we have physical needs, emotional, mental needs,
Yeah.
relational needs, all of these different things, and how would workplaces be
Yeah.
shaped if they would be holistically integrated? And that's just
But
the thought.
funny, yeah, and I love what you said, but funny thing is that when you bring this question to companies, they measure or they create from the same horizontal kind of measures, right? Like so they look at creation of the new way of working still from the same way of working. So they only change the small things, right? It's almost like I believe that because I'm trying to explain, like, because when you ask this question, how the best place will look like, people usually go like, oh, maybe work less days, or maybe having one more room here, or maybe have reading room here, or having relaxation, or maybe we can have massage in the middle of the day. But it's still kind of same paradigm, right? So I feel like stepping into that new way of creating that workplace, I think it must come from different values, because I believe values were the one thing that was really changing you, right? Like you were really aligning with what your values are in personal development, right? Like in your personal journey. So when you look at the companies, they have values on the wall, but they don't really transform to live and breathe and demonstrate them. And I think that piece of like, wow, this is our value, but who we truly are we living this value? Are we really that? And I think that's when companies can start to develop this, new perspective, how you can actually align with integrity, not just like say, oh, integrity. It's like everybody, like integrity. Like that's such a normal, common thing that we should all have integrity, right? So why that it needs to be even the value. But when you look at, deeper and people say it's, I don't know, customer care or gratitude. But how that really is, how that changes how you call to people, how you pick up the phone, like all the small details have to actually change in human behavior to change the values, right? Or change how we live the values. Wow, I think it's such a big topic, because when you look at behavior, like we can go so not only vertical and horizontal, I think we can go like deeper and expand, and we can probably find so many different perspectives on that. And
Absolutely.
yeah,
Absolutely. And what's so important is that these, obviously, yes, we need to bring values in all of that. And the important thing is to, again, create space, step away, because how does the human mind work? We recreate the patterns that we're used to. We recreate these paradigms, right? So the moment we just stay, let's say if a company really wants to transform, you got to get away for some time, a week, 2 weeks, or even better, even longer, the leadership team, like a few months, go away. Life really, and this is scary, obviously, but life is also birthed through, through some unraveling and chaotic times. And I think why we see so much burnout nowadays is because people hold on to old structures of patterns where we know inside the mind is like, yeah, but this is not serving
I'm
me,
not
this is not
working,
serving me,
yeah.
this is not serving me. But you stay there, you recreate, you go every day, but life is constantly changing, but we just try to keep it the same.
Yeah,
And
because
so
it's
we got to
comfortable.
step away. We got to create space, and then these big visions come really come in, and then we can 10x the impact, the
Yeah.
success, and whatever we want.
I love that. And I love that you're saying that, because we realized when we started to do now like a retreats actually for the company, we didn't really have an idea there will be interest, but people are so well responding to that. And they're like, oh my gosh, yes, we want to go actually, we go want to go away. Or you want to be in a forest in this beautiful
So
resort
important.
together. Yeah, just going away and change the environment. And you're right, there's so much that can be done. When we actually are able to shift, and the deep work has to happen because we are holding on the old paradigms or old patterns, And going away from that old patterns, that requires to have a little better relationship with uncertainty, right? And jumping to the new space. And I think that's scary for a lot of people and expectations of, like the results and everything. So I believe that, yeah, I would love to have this conversation, and I think we can continue on the leadership and really looking at the companies and cultures and how people work together, because I think that's another beautiful topic to talk about. But thank you so much, Mateus. Thank you so much for your time. It's so beautiful to talk to you, and I really, really enjoyed it. So let's leave a little kind of small thing for people that you wanted to say. If there is something that comes up to your mind right now, what do you think that people should know here? What do you have to leave, or maybe last sentence that you can leave them with, what it would be?
The last sentence would be, yeah, just like really like slow down, like really slow down, like really create a moment of slowness. And there's so many big questions and challenges often in life, right? And when we really slow down, the answers to those questions and challenges just arises often, and everything gets way easier. So really creating space and slowing down to create harmony inside is what I would give to the people. And yeah, and you asked before, like, how can people find me and what I do? So I do a lot of one-on-one coaching right now. Also have some group programs coming up. I see myself like as a Sherpa, for like for the inner journey as well,
Yeah.
and then to create the biggest impact and most beautiful life on the outside that's possible for leaders, for exited founders, high achieving entrepreneurs. And I also do a lot of talks and workshops, get invited for entrepreneurs chapters and things like that. So and also companies. So if anybody wants to have a talk that is directed about, evolutionary leadership, emotional mastery, self leadership, in that space, please feel free to reach out via my LinkedIn, Matthias Schmidt, or also my website, matthiasschmidt.eu.
You don't need to have a hard time. I will actually put your details in the description. I will make it easy for people, so you can find it in the notes of the podcast, your LinkedIn and your website, of course, that you can connect with Matthias as well. And thank you so much, Matthias, for your time. Have a beautiful day ahead. We are already coming into evening, so hope you will enjoy today. And I'm looking forward to speaking to you again, and good luck with everything.
Thank you, Alexandra, for having me. It was such a pleasure. It's great to talk to you. And I'm wishing everybody who's listening all the best.